Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, it is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and place it under a bushel basket. They place it on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me claim these few moments of homily to speak about you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And what this might mean to us, to incarnate this, to make this flesh and blood in our daily journey of life. This past week on Tuesday, we had a mission with Father Kevin O'Brien, a very intelligent, scholarly Jesuit priest. And he gave a brilliant talk here on Tuesday night. If you missed it, it's worth going back and reclaiming it on our website for reflection and for insight, for understanding of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to understand the love of Jesus Christ and the claim that Jesus Christ has on us as disciples of the Lord. In his presentation, he gave us two words, two Greek words, one very familiar to us as agape, telling us how we understand Jesus Christ and how we are called to follow Jesus Christ, to learn about the Lord and to follow the manner of his living and his teaching. The agape means this incredible, infinite, unconditional self-donation of love, the love of Jesus Christ for all people, without condition, without reservation. Agape. The second word is a Greek word, and this is the manner in which you will live out and experience agape. And the Greek verb that was used was spanglitzomenai. This is comes from a Greek word meaning splankma. Splangzitzomai is meant to speak about splankna, which is our innards. In the Greek world, it was believed that the center of all emotions was in our inner person. We still have remnants of that, saying, "You broke my heart," or "I have a gut feeling," or "I'm sick to my stomach." It all comes from splankna, or the Greek word splangzitzomai. So what does this mean to us? It's meant to speak to us about tenderness, about kindness, something that comes from the richness within us. Compassion, understanding, patience. This is splangzitzomai. That comes from deep inside of us. That's the manner in which agape becomes incarnate. What does this mean to us? The kindness, the tenderness. Look at the life of Christ. Read the Gospels. Jesus sees the multitude, and he is moved with compassion, it says. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and they're hungry, so he feeds the multitude. This is the kindness, this is the inner wonder in each of us. You'll find it throughout the Gospels. In Luke chapter 7, there's an incident in the little village of Nain. It's near Nazareth. And Jesus is coming into Nain and he sees a procession, a funeral procession. The only son of a widowed mother. So he stops and he brings that boy back to life. And it said he was moved with compassion. He was moved by this wonder inner person in him. There's one extraordinary one that I have often thought about. It's in the first chapter of Mark, but it appears in all three synoptic gospels. And this is a story about a leper. Now, the leper is an outcast. He's an outcast because people are so fearful of getting leprosy. He's not allowed to belong to the community. He's cast out. And he comes to Jesus and he asks for healing. Jesus touches him. Very important. Jesus touches him and he heals him. Now, when Jesus touches the leper, according to Levitical law, he himself is rendered unclean. To follow the Levitical law, he would have to go to the temple and go through a cleansing process by the priest. He touches the leper. That's part of the compassion, the kindness, the tenderness. When I was reading that and reflecting on it, I was taken back to an experience I had here at Holy Family when I was young at Holy Family years ago. During the 80s and the 90s, the pandemic of AIDS was widespread between 80 and 90. The year what? 80 and 90. 100,000 men between 24 and 40 died in our country of AIDS or AIDS-related illnesses. They were the untouchables. They got very little public sympathy because we were so ignorant and uncivilized, we didn't appreciate the gift of gay people. We didn't understand the richness that was given to us in people who are different. They were outcasts. And there was an impression that it was a self-inflicted wound. And therefore, understanding of forgiveness was somewhat wanting. During that period, I got a phone call to go to a hospice center, a small home down here on Huntington Drive. They had 10 or 15 men there, all dying of hospice, of AIDS. It was a hospice center. So I went down there, and of course, I'm part of the ignorance of society at the time, and I'm afraid to touch these people. All the staff are wearing gloves. And I'm called to anoint this man to give him the last rites. He's dying. So I anoint him very carefully, not to touch him too much. When I come out of the place, I'm cleansing my hands, I'm using the cleansing thing. Then I talked to Gail Gutierrez, who was a very smart lady in our parish. She was a public health nurse. Some of you will remember Gail. Gail said, "You're not going to get AIDS by touching somebody." I said, are you sure about that? She said, oh yeah, that's not the way you get AIDS, touching people. Okay. So I kept going back, taking communion to the few Catholics and praying with those who are not Catholics. I never wore gloves. For those who are non-Catholics, I held their hands and prayed with them. Give communion to the sick, anointed those who need anointing. They were not outcasts to me. I found that somehow they belonged to me. It was the splenzitsumai. It was the inner person, the compassion, the tenderness, the kindness spoken about by Jesus Christ. Then one day, this man who was a non-Catholic, as took his hands, I was praying with him. He looked at me and he said, Monsignor, I live in darkness. And you are the only light I have. You are the only hope that I have. Then he went on to say, I thank God for you, and has said, he's giving praise to my Father in heaven. Whatever good deed you do, he's thanking the Lord in heaven. I never forgot that. I never forgot the need to touch people, the healing touch, especially when people feel they're outcasts. Well, that came back to me when I was reflecting on salt of the earth and light of the world. If you're very successful in life, you make your first million, people will not tell you you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. If you accomplish something in life, you're man of the year, woman of the year, people don't say you're salt of the earth or light of the world. They might say, I'm proud of you, congratulations. Salt of the earth, light of the world. That's something very personal. There's something intimate about that. It has to do with this understanding of splagna, of splangzitsumai, this inner person. Reflecting on that during this week, I began to wonder to myself, who are the outcasts in our society today? Who is it that we don't want to touch? Who is it that doesn't belong? What's the crisis in our society today of people that don't fit in? They don't qualify. Is it in the church? In society? What is it? Is there something extraordinary about these people? Inhuman about these people? Something so despicable that we've shut them out? I thought about undocumented persons that worked in the fields of Central California, do the kind of hard work that not too many will do. But they don't fit in. I thought about hardworking families that are undocumented. They don't fit. They can't be touched. They can't be treated with tenderness, understanding, and welcoming. And we, followers of Jesus Christ, what does this gospel mean to us? What does it mean to us? Let's be honest about it. We're looking at our neighbors. We're looking at people just like us. And we say, I know. But they're the lepers. They're the outcasts. There's something about them, they don't belong. Keeping in mind that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the child of the economy, is not the slave of the economy or the slave of politics. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful understanding of the meaning of life, how to frame the economy and politics into a civilized way that we can say we are followers of Jesus Christ. I thought about that this week when I was reflecting on Jesus touching the leper. When he touched the leper, he became like the leper. He normalized the leper because he himself became like the leper. He was unclean. We are unclean, but we don't know it. This person is unclean, but we know he's unclean. So where do we catch, honestly, where do we catch the power of Jesus Christ in this gospel? What does it mean to us when we leave here? Do we have a mission? Do we have a statement to make? Do we have Jesus Christ to proclaim in a way which may not be entirely popular, but it must be real because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the tenderness, it's the kindness, it's the manner in which agape is lived out in splenzitsomai, understanding, not a demand. Somebody out there who's looking for the light of the world and the salt of the earth, somebody who's looking to be touched with a hand of kindness, not a hand of violence. And that person belongs to us, belongs to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might struggle with it. We must struggle with it. To be authentic, to listen to the power of Jesus Christ, to understand the summons given to us when we proclaim that we are disciples of Jesus Christ and the Lord is our Savior, and he blesses us even when we are unworthy. He touches us when we need healing. He empowers us so that we can share his goodness, kindness, tenderness, welcoming, opening. That's the meaning of the gospel. Don't dilute it. Don't avoid it. Look at it and understand that when Jesus touched the leper, he healed the leper, and something extraordinary in his humanity was proclaimed. Amen.